There are 7 deadly sins, Captain. Gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, pride, lust, and envy.
Hello and welcome back, everyone, to the podcast. I am, of course, your host, as always, Rob. Seeing how last week's episode on greed was received so well, I am beyond excited to get into today's episode of the 7 deadly sins in social media, where we will be focusing on the sin of envy. Now, for this, we have invited some very special guests that we'll meet shortly. But before we get started, there is an important question I have to ask the listeners. What is envy? And is it just a synonym for jealousy or something else entirely? All the way back in the 4th century BC, well-known Greek philosopher Aristotle defined envy as pain at the sight of another's good fortune, stirred by those who have what we ought to have. And about 1,000 years later, envy actually became part of Pope Gregory's list of the 7 deadly sins. Jealousy, on the other hand, is when you feel protective and threatened and even scared about losing something you possess, like a position of power or a lover. So it's extremely important not to confuse the two. Now that we have a solid understanding of what envy actually is, I think it's time to meet our guests for today's episode.
Hello, my name is Melina and I am a scientist and professor at King's College in London.
Hello, my name is Franziska and I am a professional researcher in the area of effective neuroscience.
Great to have you on the show today. If you don't mind, I'd like to get started right away. So, does any one of you maybe want to share an experience that they had in relation to social media where envy played a notable role?
Yes, so I remember one experience that kind of stuck with me. It was around the time when Instagram had just been launched and became quite popular. So this particular day, I was about to go to bed and I was scrolling through the Instagram page of a person I had become friends with during my studies. And I saw that in her latest post, she had announced how delighted she was to have been admitted to Oxford University as a PhD student. And I recall that I felt my mood sinking really fast, my stomach lurch and my chest tighten. In fact, I did not sleep that night until the next morning because I was so consumed thinking about her and the fact that she had achieved something this valuable and prestigious and I hadn't.
I imagine that must have been terrible. Franziska, what do you, as an expert researcher in this field, think about such an influential experience with such long-lasting effects?
Yes, I think this is because it belonged to one of the most powerful and painful moments of envy that she has experienced. Comparing the achievements of others with your own can cause feelings of self-deprecation and self-consciousness, which might make you feel inferior to others. When experiencing the feeling of envy, there can be frequent physical reactions, which can cause discomfort, and in extreme situations, it can even cause pain.
Thank you both very much for your input. So, it's safe to say that envy is incredibly prevalent in today's society. Be it the workspace, in relationships, or on social media platforms, you can be sure envy is involved. That's quite interesting, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. And today, with the increasing popularity of social media, envy is being taken to an extreme. We are constantly bombarded by Photoshop lives, and that exerts a toll on us that is quite mentally demanding, and not very pleasant. Actually, data has shown that more and more people deal with envy psychologically, especially when they can't achieve the lifestyle they want, but which they see others have. And our use of platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, really amplifies this deeply disturbing psychological discord. I think what social media has done is make everyone accessible for comparison. In the past, people might have just envied their neighbors or family members, but now we can compare our lives with billions of people around the world. So the pool for comparison has become huge.
And I mean, we fuel this 24/7, don't you think? We carry our phones as envy amplification devices around in our pockets, we sleep with it next to our pillows, and it tempts us the moment we wake up, even if it's the middle of the night. But what I think is interesting, though, is that we all know that images can be filtered, right? That people are presenting the very best take on their lives. We know that we are looking at edited versions of reality. So most of us can intellectualize what we see on social platforms. We know that these images and narratives that are presented aren't real. We can talk about it and rationalize it, but on an emotional level, it's still pushing buttons. If those images or narratives tap into what we aspire to but what we don't have, then it becomes very powerful, I think.
That is precisely it. And this is why, to explore the role that envy plays in our use of social media, we had Hannah from our team conduct an interview with one of the leading experts in the field of psychology to find out more about envy, why exactly we experience it, how social media amplifies it, and much, much more. Let's listen to what both of them talked about.
Good morning and welcome, Ms. Johnson, to our podcast.
Good morning and thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here and agreeing to have this interview.
It's a pleasure.
Wonderful. As you know, our podcast revolves around the seven deadly sins, and on today's episode we will engage with envy. To begin with, maybe can you tell us why are we humans envious in the first place?
Well, envy is activated when two criteria are fulfilled. First, there needs to be social proximity of some sort and psychological relevance for an individual to start being envious. At the same time, there are cultural circumstances that determine the evaluation of enviable things.
Are there any parts of the brain usually responsible for envy?
No, actually there's no particular brain area responsible, but the higher the envy, the more activation there is in the prefrontal cortex. This area is also responsible for detecting facial expressions representing envy in others. The hormone oxytocin is also involved when being envious, which is also called the hormone of cuddling.
And is the amount of this hormone in the brain the same for every human?
There's a significant difference between men and women, as women tend to produce more oxytocin. This could also explain a slightly higher occurrence of envy in women.
Wow, okay, that's interesting. But you said before that there's no particular brain area that evokes envy. If it is not possible to explain envy in a neurobiological way, where does it come from then?
Envy probably developed out of living together in social systems. It has its roots in social comparison.
Well, I would say, especially nowadays, social comparison is as present as ever. Let's take social media as an example. We are constantly confronted with the lives and images of others. How would you say does social media influence one's sense of self?
Social media and its effects on self-awareness and confidence are very complex, as this is highly dependent on the individual and the context of the situation. Generally, we can say that the contorted reality on social media can lead to contorted sense of self and others.
And how does this affect an individual?
In some cases, this can lead to a negative development of a cognitive scheme in regards of the unpleasantness of one's own life. This can manifest itself in different ways. You might think your life is boring, or you start to compare yourself to unrealistic images and get frustrated because you wish your body would look a certain way. And eventually, you may never be satisfied with your own self because realistically, the goals are unreachable. But like I said, it's complex, as for example, people who consciously separate social media and the real world, or people with strong confidence may not actively experience negative effects.
So basically what you are saying is that social media is supporting humans' tendency for social comparison, which is a crucial factor of envy. So how does envy go along with the culture of comparison that is so present in social media?
Well, as already figured out, social media can affect the sense of self. Our sense of self basically consists of two aspects. First, the real self, and then the ideal self. The higher the discrepancy between these two selves, the lower and worse the sense of self. Social media certainly has an influence on our ideal self, as we are continuously confronted with allegedly perfect prototypes. We then intensify our idea of our ideal self, and therefore the discrepancy to our real self. It is assumed that this influences the envy we feel towards others, especially those that seem to be closer to their ideal self.
Okay, this explains why my colleagues and I feel like social media might influence or even increase envy. Would you say that social media significantly changes the amount of envy we experience on a daily basis? Or would it even be possible to completely erase envy if it weren't for social media?
Unfortunately, absolutely not. Envy is a very, very old feeling that presumably always has been there. I mean, you're proving it yourself through this podcast, as it is one of the deadliest sins and thus at least as old as the Bible. But it is correct that envy is dependent on the possibility of social comparison. We can observe that there is an increase in the accessibility of comparison through social media. We could say social media is like fertile soil for envy, or to put it a bit less negatively, envy now has more fertile soil through social media, additionally to what it has anyways.
So speaking of negativity, envy is an emotion that I would say is rather or maybe even always perceived as a negative one. I myself cannot remember a single time in which I experienced being envious in any positive way. Would you say that envy is indeed an exclusively negative feeling?
This might surprise one or the other, but envy can actually be perceived in two aspects, one of which is even a positive one. Obviously, the negative side of envy can be very destructive and inhibitory, as it usually includes begrudging others. On the other hand, social comparison can develop some sort of upward action in oneself, meaning that it functions as motivation and stimulation to reach a certain goal.
So envy can be sufficient in some way and even enhance productivity. Maybe I should try and change my perspective on it. Do you have any suggestions, of course, not only for me, but also for our listeners who struggle with envy, maybe especially regarding the problematic of social media that presumably affects a lot of people? What can we do to not let social media get into our heads, and even better, to turn negative experiences around and turn them into something positive?
Well, I wish it would be as easy as to give a perfect solution on how to do this that actually suits everybody. But as I said before, not only envy, but every emotion is very complex and influenced by an individual. Psychologically speaking, unfortunately, this is not possible. What I would advise you to do personally, however, is to constantly remind yourself that social media is not real and should not be taken as a desirable goal that eventually negatively influences your sense of self. If you notice that social media makes you feel a certain way about yourself, maybe take some time off. Spend some more time in the real world with real people. Do something for yourself to boost your real self, your confidence, and do not worry about any self-imposed standards that you think are important to achieve.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Johnson, for your time, your expertise, and your advice. It was really a pleasure to dig deeper into the concept of envy, especially in regards to the impact of social media. Hopefully, we get to ask you for your knowledge once more, maybe one of our other upcoming episodes. Until then, I wish you a wonderful rest of the day.
It will be a pleasure. Thank you very much. And you too.
A big thank you to Hannah for organizing the interview and to Dr. Johnson for providing some very important information. It is much appreciated. Of course, I would like to also thank Melina and Franziska for being here on the show today. As for you, the listeners, I hope you took away some valuable and helpful information from all three of our wonderful guests. Maybe you felt like, yeah, seeing other people's success on social media does make me feel bad. I wonder why that is and what I can do to change that. Well, in that case, I hope today's episode has gotten you on the right track. Just remember to not be fooled by what you see on social media. That being said, I'd like to, of course, also thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in to another installment of this series. We are truly thankful for the support. Be sure to tune in again next week, where we will get down and dirty talking about the sin of gluttony. Until then, I've been your host, Rob, wishing you a wonderful rest of your day. Take care now.